No.
Yeah. So in the letter of the Thessalonians, we can see how they're doing, right? With this major change in their life, they're changing their mindset. One, what's focused on Jesus and his gospel message. You know, and they're doing great. We see that they're doing great. They're standing strong in their new faith. However, we also see how people are, how other people are doing with this same change. And they're not doing so great. They're responding spitefully and with persecuting the Christians. You know, we know Paul didn't have a lot of time, right? We've talked about this before. He didn't have a lot of time in Thessalonica before he was forced out of town, but he had enough time to hit the major points. The Thessalonians were changing their whole belief system. You know, their whole belief system is completely changed. And this was a system that they've had since they were kids, since their fathers were kids. So it's been a long time. You know, a lot of habits, a lot of traditions. And they were doing great, but they still, as usual, as we still have questions, they had questions on certain things. And questions are not a bad thing. You know, as long as we search for the truth and we actually ask. That's what searching for the truth is. We're asking questions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Jesse, can you read that?
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, as do sorrows, others who have no hope.
I don't know why I never really liked that word ignorant, because one, I feel like I don't say it right. I don't know, it just feels weird. And then two is like, it seems like 90% of the time I hear that, it's when somebody's being rude to somebody else. Now, Paul isn't being rude. He isn't being rude. It just seems, it simply means to be not informed. So Paul wants them to be informed on this matter. Now, when we see in the Bible, and it's specifically like, well, I don't want you to be informed, that's telling us that there's quite a few people what aren't informed are acting like they're not informed. So the matter is those who have fallen asleep. So those who've fallen asleep in church, probably not. I don't think he's talking about that. Those who've fallen asleep in school, who hasn't done that, right? So who is he talking about has fallen asleep? Anybody know? Who is he talking about? Do you know? Or no clue? So back in the day, they had this expression. It was an older expression. It was a nice way of saying those who've died. They have fallen asleep. Those who've died. You know, they passed away, so they've fallen asleep. Have you ever seen a tombstone, or especially older tombstones, they have a R.I.P. You've seen that? Do you know what that stands for? It's Ackerman. Rest in peace, right? In Psalms chapter 4, verses 8. Michelle?
I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
So the idea is that they're at rest. And that's why they've fallen asleep, because they're at rest. They're resting in the Lord, and he has them secure. You know, the early Christians started calling their burial places cemeteries. We still call them cemeteries today. And the reason they call it cemeteries is because it means sleeping place, or dormitories, which is kind of weird. When I heard that, it's kind of weird is that we send our kids off to college to sleep at the dorms, right? In their cemeteries. And don't know. I found it weird. I don't know about you guys. The Thessalonians were expecting the return of Jesus at any moment, any time. And it got them thinking about those who have died. So if a Christian dies before Jesus comes back, does he miss the boat? That's what was going through their head. Now, people handle death very differently, right? It's a sad moment on all counts, but for the unbeliever, there is no promise. There is no hope of everlasting life. But for Christians, there is hope. Hope of seeing your loved ones again. Paul is not saying that we don't mourn. We never mourn anybody. However, it's different from those who do not believe. You know, we mourn our loved ones as like they were going on a long journey. You know, we're not going to see them for a long time, but we will see them again because we have hope in Jesus. Now, I feel and I believe that Jesus has lessons out there in the world, right? He has lessons out there in the world that for us to learn, even if our Bible is miles away. You know, a couple weeks ago, me and my son-in-law, we had a last-minute decision to run a 5K race. And this was to remember 9/11, right? It was put on by Tunnels to Towers. You know, it's a great organization. All donations are 100%. You know, they take nothing. It's 100% to the first responders. It was started by a brother of a firefighter who lost his life that day. You know, his shift was over. Before the plane hit, his shift was just ending. So his shift was over. He was driving home. And on the way home, he heard the news on the radio. So he turned around. He went to the station. Everybody was gone because they were already headed towards the towers. He grabbed his gear and started heading down towards the towers, towards danger. Now, because of security reasons, they shut down the Brooklyn Tunnel. And because they shut down, he couldn't drive there. So he grabbed his gear again out of his car, and he ran from the tunnel to the Twin Towers. You know, he could have been safe. He didn't have to turn around. His shift was over. His duty was done. But he chose to give everything to help others. You know, the ones we're putting on that race, it just was really neat. It just touched my heart because you could see that they were doing it from the heart. They had prayer. It was just kind of awesome. I was very glad I did it. They had a little speaking moment before it, but they had a member of a hotshot crew from Prescott. And I don't know if you remember, but a few years back that there was a fire in Tonto Basin, and it killed everybody in his crew except for him. He was the sole survivor. He got talking in... What he was dealing most with now is he talks to a lot of people, but he talked about survivor's remorse. You know, and it puts people in a very dark place. Very dark place. A place of thoughts of suicide. It's kind of curious. It was weird that you just were in the parade for that. You know, they say 120 people commit suicide a day. That seems crazy. I don't know where they get the numbers, but you know, I know it's all around the world, but it is a real problem. Now, I never handled suicide well. You know, I feel like I should have a little bit more compassion, but I get angry. I've known people. I've never known anybody that were super close to me that have committed suicide. But I've seen the waste and I've seen the pain it causes. In Psalms 43:5, verse 5, Stephen.
Countenance
and my God.
People go through real struggles. And we all get depressed from time to time. You know, the person who wrote this psalm is more than likely King David. Most people feel like it is King David. You know, a man after God's own heart. He got depressed. He was going through a very dark time. And the thoughts of the devil were loud and deafening. He didn't put his hope in things of the world. He put his hope in the one who could save him. He put his hope in God. Now, at this race, the last man that spoke kind of ended. He ended with this thought that those who commit suicide are not trying to end life, they're trying to end their situations. You know, it made me think, and right then I felt like God told me, you need to be better and you need to talk about these things. You know, what we focus on defines us. You know, what do we put our trust in? Where is our hope lying on? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, Jesse?
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
So Jesus' resurrection is an amazing example, right? It's an amazing example of his power. In how he's able to keep his promises. Christians have more than just a wishful hope, right? It's not just, oh, well, maybe. No, we can trust in what Jesus tells us. It's going to happen. It will happen. The ancient Romans left behind these magnificent marble tombs. One of them reads, I was not, I became, I am not, I care not. And then in Rome, you could find these catacombs. Has everybody heard of a catacomb? You know, what is a catacomb? Right, a lot of tombs. You know, basically you see these pictures and there's just bones of people lining the walls. It's a mass underground tunnel with a mass grave site, right? Dingy and dark. There we can find the words, in peace. You know, the world may tell you that the Roman had a much better life. However, in the end, he had no hope. He cares not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15 through 16. Michelle?
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
So going back to how they were concerned about the dead what's died before Jesus came back, Paul wants the Thessalonians to know, not by Paul's word, by the word of the Lord. Do not worry about those Christians. Jesus will gather them up first. You don't get to cut in line in front of them just because you're alive. Jesus will meet them before the ones that are still alive. You know, this verse spurs on a debate in doctrine between Christians. Are Christians that pass away, are they waiting in limbo for Jesus' return? Do they go straight to heaven? Or does their soul go to heaven, but their body remains in slumber until resurrected on the day of Jesus' return? Now, Jesus told the thief on the cross, and I forgot, I skipped myself. In Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. Yeah, I guess I could just turn around. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you have come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Stephen, can you read that?
"We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body as to be present with the Lord."
So I've heard intelligent people on both sides of this fence, of this doctrine. Whether side you're on, you know, it seems like getting to heaven is going to seem like a blink of the eye. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17 through 18. Jesse, can you read that?
"Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words."
So I'm guessing everybody in this room, most Christians, have heard of the word rapture, right? Now, did you know that the rapture, that word, isn't in the Bible? Where they get it is from this chapter. You know, because what rapture means is to be caught up. So that we will be caught up in the air with Jesus. You know, the one thing the Bible doesn't tell us is that Jesus, when the time, right? Jesus' return could be at any moment. This is why the Thessalonians needed to be ready. They wanted to be ready. They needed to be decided that day because they did not know if they had tomorrow. It's the same goes for today. Now, there's been a ton of people who have tried to guess the day. Now, we know it's going to happen because we trust in the Lord. And the Bible tells us, right? On that same note, we know because of places in the Bible that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation at the end times. Again, this brings in a debate of doctrine. You know, there's the pre-tribulation rapture, there's the mid-tribulation rapture, or there's the post-tribulation rapture. Now, Calvary Chapel, for the majority, most Christians believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And there's a lot of verses to back that up. Now, if you talk to somebody who believes in the post-tribulation, they'll say the same thing. But we'll just look at verse 18 because it's right here. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, would it be comforting if Paul would say, "Oh, it's going to get so much harder for 7 years before it gets better"? Now, the church of Thessalonica, you know, they were already being persecuted, right? We already know that. They're already being persecuted. Is it going to keep on going for 7 years? Then what happens after that 7 years had already passed? Another seven? You know, there was already groups in the early church that thought they missed it. They thought they missed the rapture. then how long does it take to get before being discouraged? Now we know that the rapture didn't happen way back then in the church of the Thessalonians. So would it have been comforting to the Thessalonians to talk about this? You know, because they might have been thinking that. They might have lost hope. So typically we don't think that, we think it's going to happen before this tribulation. You know, because losing hope is a depressing downhill slide. Now, wherever somebody hangs their hat on this decision, I do like what somebody would say, somebody has said, is Christians should pray for a pre-trib, but prepare for a post-trib. Meaning that we should pray that we never see tribulation. However, if we see that, if we are persecuted, we pray that we're strong enough and that our faith will not bend. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who had promised is faithful. So Jesus promised the passing of loved ones is very sad. It's extremely sad and can be depressing. But remembering that Jesus will catch us up in the air with him, with our loved ones, the people who have passed before us, this is the hope we have. Because Jesus doesn't lie. He tells us this, and he cannot lie. He's promised us. What he says is true. You know, we need to hang on to that Jesus is true during those dark times. You know, he will give us hope. He'll believe in that and trust in that. Psalms 18, verse 2. I lost track. Right?
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
He is our stronghold. We need to trust in him. And he will protect us. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?